The Song of Songs. Now, again, it is maybe one of the most overlooked books of the Bible when it comes to 21st century American preaching. And I think it's because we just don't know what to do with it. We just don't know what to do with it. If you've read it, maybe you scratched your head over it. Maybe you thought to yourself, where does this go? What do I do with this? For years, people have thought, well, maybe it's talking about, you know, from Jehovah God to his people Israel. Maybe it's talking about from Christ to the church. Maybe it's a husband-wife thing. But here's something that I'm pretty sure is true about Scripture. If it's in there, it's got something for me. If it's in there, if God has held on to it, if God has sort of rested his mantle of authority over it, there's something there for me. And when I come to the Song of Songs, I just think this is, it could become the lens. If Amanda mentioned, if you haven't started in on the Every Word All Year with us, maybe you could just start now, not start from the beginning, but start where we are and move forward. But maybe Song of Songs could become the lens that you read it through. Maybe it could become, because here's the deal, the sign that you hang over the Song of Songs is, I am my beloved's and he is mine. I am my beloved's and he is mine. There's this line that from Psalm 63, and it says, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there's no water, I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and your glory because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods, the richest of fare. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I will remember you. I will think of you through the watches of the night because you are my help. And I sing in the shadow of your wings and I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Let me read to you something that I wrote. Maybe you saw this in the email if you read it, but it just gives you kind of the idea that I want to bring you to as we talk about this song. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I long to be longed for. I love to be loved. God made me that way, made you that way, made all of us that way. But if all of us are all that needy, then who on earth can meet all that need? I invite you to let Jesus be the one to love you like that. Truthfully, he's the only one who can. I long for Jesus to teach me to love him like that. I think that's what I'm created for. I think that's what you are created for. So we're going to worship around that big idea. That big idea, not of Jehovah God and how he loved his people. You know how I know it's not about Jehovah God and his Old Testament people Israel? Because it's still there. If it was for them at that time, why would we still be reading it here and now? And I don't think it's for Christ and his church. Because honestly, the church can't live up to the heroic measures of the bride that's found in Song of Solomon. That line about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That is as if to say, love your wives even when there's nothing much to love about them. Because through the centuries, the church has been a fickle bride. And Jesus has been given every reason to give up, but he keeps loving. I don't think it's about Christ loving the church. And honestly, I don't think it's about husbands and wives, because the male figure in the Song of Songs is just too good. Husbands can't live up to that. And I say this, and I'm a really good husband, and I can't even live up to that. Ask Stephanie, I'm serious. But anyway, I think the interpretive key that unlocks this, that actually turns it into the lens through which to view all of Scripture, this is written for the heart of the one who wants to go hard after Jesus. This is written for the person who says, is there something more that I'm missing? Because if there is, I want it. If there's something more, I'm hungry for it. And I don't want to leave anything on the table. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, if there is more for you to say to me, I'm listening. Lord, in Jesus' name, if there's more for you to show me, Lord, I'm looking. Lord, I long to be loved like that, like that. You are my God. I seek you. I thirst for you. I long for you. I love the way it just lays it out in Psalm 63 where it says, your love is better than life. I will be fully satisfied. I will be, my singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I will remember you. That idea that there is, if there's more, I want it. If there's more, I long for it. You know the tragedy that I think happens too much for people like me? Is we begin to settle for less than what God has in mind. We begin to say, I guess this is just as good as it gets. And I guess that's just good enough. But oh, precious ones, this song of songs, this is for those who want it all. So here are some questions I want to invite you into. One, what do you long to be taken away from? There's this line in the song, we'll get to it in a minute. There's this line in the song that says, take me away with you, let us hurry. Is that how you came to know Jesus? With this urgency that said, Lord, I need you, I need you. And maybe guys like me have taught you before, don't put God on a clock. Don't tell God when it's got to happen, but there's something in your heart that says, God, I need you now. I'm longing for you now. What do you long to be taken away from? The thing that breaks your heart, the thing that burdens your soul. What do you long to be brought into? It says, take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers. What do you long to be taken out of? What do you long to be brought into? Lord, if there's more of you, I want it. If there's more to be seen, if there's more to be heard, if there's more to be had, God, I want it. What do you long to be brought into? Let me ask you this one. What leaves you? What leaves you feeling cut off and isolated and honestly not worthy of showing up? There's this line in the song, dark am I, yet lovely. Don't stare at me because I'm dark. My own vineyard I've had to neglect. What is it about your life? What is it about your experience that leaves you feeling like if you really knew all there was to know about me, I wouldn't be welcome here. I wouldn't be loved. Not like that. What is there that leaves you feeling dark and neglected? Because maybe that's the thing that you need to put your finger on and bring to the altar and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just want to be free. I just want to be free. Let me ask you this. Do you need rest? There's this place here where I delight to sit in his shade. I delight to the fruit. His fruit is sweet to my taste. Let him lead me to his banqueting table. Let his banner over me be loved. I long to sit in the shade of my beloved. Do you need rest? I'm betting you do. I know I do. Just a place to be unburdened, you know? A place to, I was praying over a brother as he was walking in this morning. I was praying, Lord, in Jesus' name, if we could just get a deep breath in your presence. If we could just offload the hurt, the burden, the pain. Lord, if only we could be free. Yeah? Do you need rest? Let's walk through it a little bit together. And again, I'm hoping that this can become kind of a lens through which to see your entire relationship with Jesus. So let's start at the beginning. Solomon's Song of Songs. We know that Solomon wrote over 1,000 songs. 1 Kings tells us that. But this is the only one that is held for posterity. Over 1,000 songs, but this is the Song of Songs. Just like there's a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords and a Holy of Holies, this is the Song of Songs, which tells me it's for everybody. It's not just for them back there. It's not for all of us. It's for each of us. Solomon's Song of Songs. And then it goes into this beautiful drama that is set between the lover and his beloved. It is this beautiful drama of longing and laying down one's life. It's this drama of desire. Not only that I long to be loved like that, but somehow, what if God could convince you that he sees, when he looks at you, his beloved? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. Could you have a relationship with God like that? Could you have a relationship with God that engages all your senses? Could you have a relationship with God that is more than a Sunday morning, more than your moral code? Your love is like perfume poured out. No wonder they love you. And then it says this, take me away with you. Take me away with you. Free me, Lord. And don't just take me away, but bring me in. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers. You remember how Hebrews says it? It's because our hearts have been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus that we can go boldly before his throne of grace, that we can live where he lives, that we could breathe his air, that we could know what it is to belong. It's as if the king has stretched out his scepter and said, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come, let us hurry. Oh, but no sooner do you experience that desire, that longing, so the enemy of your soul begins to plant in your heart all the reasons why it can't happen. All the reasons why it's never happened before. Lord, I've prayed that prayer before. I've experienced that longing before, and yet somehow it never came true. Dark am I. Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 5. Dark am I. Lovely, yes, but dark. Dark like the tents of Kedar. Dark like the tent curtains of Solomon. Don't stare at me. Because I'm dark, darkened by the sun. My mother's sons were angry with me and made me take care of the vineyards. My own vineyard I had to neglect. Let's just unpack that for a minute. What is there in your life that leaves you feeling dark, feeling neglected, feeling put upon? What is it that you've had to tend to, that you've been responsible for, and because of that, you were not able to take care of the things that would guard and fill and feed your soul? We've known them, right? Of course you've known them. The ways that people have offloaded onto you and you've just borne up under it again and again and again. Dark am I, yet lovely. You've been put upon. You've been pulled in directions. Maybe even pulled into places you never wanted to be. Dark am I. Don't stare at me. Don't stare at me. A lot of energy is spent coming to church and hiding all the things that you don't want the people sitting next to you to know about. Don't stare at me. Don't look too deep into my soul. You may see something that I don't want you to see. You may see something that causes me to be left out and alone. Don't stare at me because I'm dark. There are things in my life that I've had to neglect because I was so busy trying to make sure that everything else was working for everyone else. Dark, neglected. But here's what the beloved, I am my beloved's and he is mine. Here is what he says. If you don't know, most beautiful of women, follow the tracks of the sheep. He goes on, he says, while the king was at his table, the perfume spread its fragrance. My beloved is to me a sachet of myrrh. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms. How beautiful you are, my darling. Could you imagine the Lord saying that about you? Could you imagine? Because there's an enemy of your soul, and all that enemy will say is dark, dark, dark. To which the lover of your soul says, how beautiful you are, my darling. She answers back, I am like a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. And it sounds like a beautiful line. It sounds like a very poetic line. But what it's really saying is, why would you even notice me? I am like a three-leafed clover. Why would you even look down to see me? There are a million lilies of the valley, and I'm just one. Why would you notice me? To which the lover of your soul says, no, you are like a lily among the thorns. Not one in this sea. You are the one that I saw when I wore the crown of thorns. That line, a lily among thorns, gives you a hint of the lengths to which Christ is willing to go to see you brought home. Like a lily among the thorns is my darling among the young women. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my beloved among the young men. I delight to sit in the shade. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. Let him lead me to the banquet hall. Let his banner over me be love. Do you need to rest? Do you need to find a place to unburden yourself? To just lay it down so that you could find a place to belong? So the lover of your soul says this, chapter 2, verse 9, my beloved is like a gazelle. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. What if God were looking in on your life, saying, oh, if you would only lift up your eyes? What if the lover of your soul was always watching for you to make just the slightest turn in his direction? So that he could catch your eye, so that he could seize your heart, so that he could draw you to himself. My beloved, there he stands behind the wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My beloved spoke, and he said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me, come away with me. What if Jesus wanted you even more than you want him? What if this longing in your heart for the something more, for the depth, for the breadth, for the length, what if this longing in you was actually there because he loved you like that first? The winter is past. The rains are over and gone. What if that could be true for you? Some of us have been going through what seems like a long season of darkness and deadness and cold. The winter is past. The rains over and gone. The flowers are beginning to appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Again, he says, arise, my darling. Come, my darling, my beautiful one. Come away with me. But that's not all. He goes on and he says, show me your face. Verse 14, my dove in the clefts of the rocks, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. How many of us live a life before the Lord with our face down? Humility, yes. Worship, yes. But what if your beloved said to you, show me your face. Let me hear your voice. Not just a voice in prayer that cries out for what I need or what I want, but a voice that says, I just want to be with you. I just want to know your presence. I want to hear your voice. Lord, I want to know what it is to breathe in your presence. Show me your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Oh, the enemy of your soul, the enemy of my soul will say to me, God is tired of hearing your complaining. God is tired of your voice. And there's nothing to love about you. But my beloved says to me, the lover of my soul says to me, your voice is sweet, your face is lovely. And then he says this, he says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vine. Let me unpack that with you for a minute. Because there may be some things in your life that you need to be set free from. There may be some things in your life that you know you need to be rid of. And honestly, until you catch those little foxes that keep spoiling your vine, you're just not going to feel free to come before the Lord. You're not going to have the freedom, the release in your spirit. And so the lover of my soul says to me, there are some things you need to take hold of in your life. There's some things that you need to address in your life. I invited folks in the earlier service to take that card, and I know it's a Connect card, but there's that place for prayer. What if you were to just write down, what are the little foxes that you need to have done with in your life? Maybe the grudges that you can't let go of. Maybe the hurts of people who've wounded you so deeply. And you want to be free, but you can't get yourself off that hook. What if there were addictions that you've hidden so well for so long, but you just said, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just need to be free. Once and for all, I need to be free of what I suffered. I need to be free of what I've experienced. I need to be free of what he did to me. I need to be free. I need to be free of the lies. Lord, in Jesus' name, these things that keep me from you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? I want to invite you to engage with this. Not just hear it, but engage with it. Father, in Jesus' name, would you speak in ways that man by man, woman by woman, we could hear? Lord, in Jesus' name, would you whisper to your sons and daughters? Lord, in Jesus' name, would you take your tender hand and would you lift us by the chin, Lord, so that our eyes could look to you. Show me your face. Lord, would you give us the words? Because I want to hear your voice, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, may today be a day of freedom. For those, remember how Hebrews talks about the besetting sins that trip me up so that when I want to run after God, I find myself hobbled and falling. What would freedom look like for you?